With that said, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue on in the book of Ephesians. And as we said, we're now in, again, looking at God's authority structure. We've been looking at God's authority structure in many ways. And so as you guys are turning your way there, let's pray and ask God to bless our time together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the authority structure you've given us. And God, our hearts do go out for those who don't understand your authority structure and they don't understand your ways. And Lord, they don't know you in many instances. And so many decisions are made that sometimes can be very tragic. And Lord, we also know that it doesn't always mean that our authorities are right, God. We trust in you, God, to work out what's right through our courts and our different systems and the authorities and the laws that you give us. But I pray you would help us as believers, God, to understand your authority and to understand your authority structure in all these areas, that our life may go well, that we may be blessed, whether it's a husband and wife, whether it's a child and a parent, whether it's employees and employers, as we're going to talk about today, or Lord, whether it's simply how we interact with our government around us and the laws of the land. We're not going to win that struggle, God. You've put it in place. And so help us to learn to, again, follow you, Lord. And I do pray for our nation, God, as we're in a very difficult time. I pray, God, for your mercy on our leaders. Give them wisdom. I pray, God, you give, again, real clear intervention in what's going on in our nation, that we might see the nation turn back to you, God. There might be a revival. We pray for a revival in the church, God, and for a move of your spirit among the lost in our nation, for we know that's the only hope. And I pray now that as we get into your word here in Ephesians and continue looking at your authority structure, God, with employees and employers, Lord, that you would be our teacher, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said, looking today at servants, masters, and spiritual battle, we're not going to get much into spiritual battle. We'll kind of just get our toes wet at the very edge of it. But in all of these guys, I want to reiterate again, they all deal with the authority structure of God, which again makes what's happening even in our nation so appropriate to where we are in Scripture. In every structure of life, in every institution, God has ordained an authority structure. And so even as we saw that in the others, we now come to servants and masters and looking at the authority structure in that. And we're going to see basically what we would say today, employees and employers, and get into what that means. And then once we're done with that, we're going to shift gears when we get to verse 10 again and talk briefly. We're going to kind of start our discussion about spiritual warfare. And as we do this over the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at God's authority structure in the heavenly realm, as well as spiritual warfare in the heavenly realm as we get into that. But I do want to make one other, I guess, disclaimer or statement before we jump in today. And that is when I talked last week about honoring your parents. And, you know, I didn't give a full picture and full balance of this when it comes to extreme situations. And I had someone, for example, say to me, you know, I had a situation where my parent repeatedly raped me growing up. And even the thought of being around them is so overwhelming. There's no way that I could possibly even send a car to do anything. It's so overwhelming emotionally. I believe there are some cases where God doesn't require that of you. And I want to make sure you understand that. When I was talking last week about honoring even parents that maybe you had a difficult time with, it is for those of you that can emotionally obey the Lord in that, let God heal your heart and go do that so you can be a witness and be a testimony and that you can obey the word of God. He says, honor your father and mother, and you can have that obedience to the word of God. But there are those rare cases like this particular individual that was sharing with me. I said, look, God doesn't call you to a place where you're going to be just always continually destroyed emotionally with horrible memories, with a crime that took place against you. It's not just, again, something that happened that was bad parenting. This was a crime. And it was an evil crime. So I do think there are those rare instances where there may be a case where there is no contact at all, and I don't think God requires it. But I think that's the rare case. I think the majority of the time, God wants us to, in some form and fashion, pray to be healed enough to be able to honor them so that we can reach them with the gospel and, again, be restored to them as a family. So, again, I just want to make that disclaimer because I don't want you to feel that if you're in that kind of situation where this particular individual was, which is an extreme and horrible and criminal situation, that God would, again, cause further damage, further pain, and further emotional destruction by forcing them to somehow have interaction in such a situation. So, with that said, we get now to employees and employers. Look what it says in verse 5. Bondservant, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Now, the setting. There were massive amounts of slaves in the days of Rome. It wasn't slavery like we think of today, where there's one particular group that's picked out and this kind of thing. This was everybody across the board. Slaves came from every nation, every color, every tongue, every background, and it could be from war, it could be from debt, it could be from whatever it was, but Rome was filled with slaves. Some people believe that Rome had as many as 50% slaves. So as much as half of Rome was slaves. And so you're dealing now with a lot of people that are bond servants. They're in slavery. And God is not addressing here through Paul whether it's right or wrong. God is saying, if that's where you are, here's what you need to do. So understand that. A lot of people say, well, why didn't Paul say right here, that's wrong, it shouldn't happen? Because it wouldn't have changed anything. Okay, God's word shows us it's wrong. This wouldn't have changed anything. What he's saying is if you find yourself as a bondservant, here's how you're to conduct yourself. Now, none of us in this room are slaves or bondservants in that definition, but we are employers and employees. And so the application for us today is going to be more of the boss and employee type of application, because it's really a general principle that we're following here. We're not living in the days of Rome where all the bond servants and all the masters are there. And so he's going to give some very specific guidelines of what we're supposed to do as servants, as employees, and then he'll give some specific guidelines as to what we're supposed to do as bosses. And then again, we'll have some other guidelines as we get into, again, the spiritual authority structure. But notice that employees, be obedient to your bosses is what he's saying. Obedience here speaks of someone who hears someone getting their attention and pays close attention to obey. So it'd be like, you know, somebody knocking on a door is kind of the word, really. The word here means knocking on a door, and you're listening. You're expecting someone to knock on the door. You hear the knock on the door and you start listening. Okay, what is it you want? Like somebody reaches around the corner, hey, can I talk to you for a second? He says, that's the kind of heart you need to have for your boss. When he says to you, hey, there's something I need you to do, or whatever, he says, be attentive to that. Be obedient to what they ask you to do. The issue is not whether they're nice or mean or good or bad. The issue is you, as a witness for Christ, be obedient in that position. There is a bond slave. Here is an employee. And it's the same way that God knocks on our heart when he wants to get our attention. He's saying, if your boss knocks on your heart to get your attention, listen. Okay, and follow that. It's how we should conduct ourselves as a Christian in the workplace, eagerly watching and listening and ready to serve our boss. And notice how he says we're to do it. Or he says, do this, be obedient with fear and trembling. And doesn't mean the kind of fear and trembling like somebody's going to beat me with a club or torture me. That's not what this is. This means like honor and respect is the idea. Deal with your bosses with honor and respect. Now that brings up the question that we talked about with marriage and also parents and children. What if they're not honor worthy? What if they're not respect worthy? He says, do it anyway. Don't do it for them. You're doing this, notice, as unto Christ. So when you're serving your boss with this kind of heart and attitude, you're serving as unto Christ, and you're being a witness for Christ, and you're also doing it for Christ, and you're also going to be rewarded in heaven for your obedience to Christ. So understand what's happening here. This is, again, where he's saying, look, this is where the world conducts themselves one way. We conduct ourselves another way. And you say, well, what if they're, you know, again, even if they're not good bosses, listen to what it says in 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Now, it's a lot easier serving a good and gentle boss, isn't it? But a lot of you have had very harsh and non-gentle bosses. And so that's where the real test comes in. It kind of reminds you where the scripture says, look, Jesus said, if you only love those that love you, what difference does that make? He said, but if you love those who don't love you, that's where you're being a testimony unto the Lord. And so the scripture teaches us that, and that's where the real test of love comes in. God may be putting you in a situation where he's allowing you to learn how to be obedient to someone that's not easy to be obedient to in the workplace, because he's not only doing a work in you, he's being a testimony to them and a testimony to everyone in the office. And so you can take heart in that, saying, God, this is for the kingdom. This is for you. And also, you will be rewarded handsomely for that one day. You may not get the bonus down here if the boss doesn't like you, but you're going to be rewarded handsomely in the kingdom, because God is going to reward those who do this with a heart as unto the Lord. And notice he says, not only in fear and trembling, look at the next thing he says we're to do, in sincerity of heart. That is, be real. Don't be fake. Don't just give lip service. You know, you don't have to pretend you're better friends with your boss than you are. If he's really mean, you don't have to say, you're the greatest person I've ever met. And that's just lying. But you also don't want to be fake. Just be real. Be normal. Get your job done. Be respectful. And not just, again, pretend with your mouth. If they tell you to do something, don't say you'll do it, then not do it. Lip service is where you say the right thing, but you don't do it. So if the boss asks you to do it, then do it. And again, whether or not anybody sees you doing it or not, it's kind of weird in the world we live in today. And even now in the church, we have cameras everywhere. And I can remember the days we didn't have cameras. And I'm like, you know, it's kind of weird now, because you try to sneak away somewhere to kind of pray for a minute or get alone, whatever, and all of a sudden you're being watched. And it's kind of a weird thing. And you think, well, would I be acting any different? I hope not. We should realize that everywhere we go, we're being watched. It may not be by somebody on the other side of that camera, but God sees everything. And so there's this kind of, I think we kind of have this idea that we're not being watched when the cameras aren't around. Certainly we're not being watched by man, which is, can again be overboard, I think. But at the same time, God sees all things. And so we need to make sure that when we're serving the Lord, we're not just saying we're serving him, that we're truly serving him. We're truly being the employee that God wants us to be. Notice he goes on. He says also, look at this, not just in sincerity of heart, but he says it's as unto Christ. Or rather, as unto Christ, because we're doing it for him. But again, notice this. He says, not with eye service, as men pleasers, right? Not with eye service. And that is, this is the person that just kind of does nothing while the boss is gone. But when the boss shows up, busy, busy, busy. You've worked with those kind of people. You've been around them. When the boss isn't there, they're leaning back. The feet are up on the desk. A couple of video games. A few, check out TikTok. Whatever, just kind of whatever. And guys, I want to encourage you. Be very careful. Look, I know we live in a very, very media-focused world. I get that. And I'm not saying it's wrong, if somebody sends you a quick little snap of something to look at it real quick on your phone. I'm not condemning for that. But if you're spending, larger amounts of time on TikTok or doing these things while you're at work, your boss didn't pay you for that. He didn't pay you to be on your computer looking at funny videos. He paid you to do what he asked you to do. And so, again, not legalistic on this. I think every one of us, somebody sends a funny video, you watch it, and, hey, guys, you got to see this. Call me a little while. There's nothing, again, that's just fun. That's life. That's interaction. But just make sure it's not going out throughout the day and you're just kind of spending your time doing these things that you weren't hired to do. So not just eye service, not just when the boss is around, not just how it looks to the rest of the staff or how it looks to those that are there. Make sure it's something that's real and it's something that's legitimate and something that, notice this, is also not as a man pleaser. If you're doing it just to please your boss, to be a man pleaser. It also comes with fearing man over fearing God. We should be doing what we're doing in our workplace because we fear God and we want to honor God. And we know that God, again, is the one that we're trying to work for. We're doing as unto Christ. So, again, we don't want to just be pleasing the boss. We want to be pleasing the Lord, although I think it is good to also please the boss if we can, being just a good employee. But notice this, as men pleasers, but not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ. He goes, you're a bond servant of your master, maybe so, but you're really a bond servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So make sure when you're doing it, you're serving at your workplace, you're doing it from your heart. It's interesting when you think about the authority structure here. In this day, you would have those that owned servants, and they would both get saved and go to the same church. Because you didn't have churches on every block. In the early church, there was one main church per city. That was it. You had one main church per city. And if you got upset with that church and didn't go there, guess you didn't go to church. You couldn't run down the street to first whatever, second whatever when you got upset. That's church. You've got to go back and deal with it. You got to solve it. You got to work with brothers and sisters and work it out. I think there's a good healthy thing in that, but that's not the world we live in today. But either way, that's how it was then. And so you would go to that place and you might think, I don't want to go to church where my master is. Well, you had no choice. But what's interesting about it is that it forced these relationships to be developed in the Lord that might have been hard to develop otherwise. And oftentimes you would have the servants that become the elders of the church. So when you're out there, he's your master and you're his servant. But when you come to church, he's yours. So it's a very interesting kind of awkward reverse setup that was going on there in the early church. And Paul's saying, we've got to learn to walk in whatever position of authority we're in. We've got to walk in it. What if tomorrow one of the other pastors became the senior pastor and I became the assistant? What would my attitude be? I would hope my attitude would be, yes, sir, here I am, ready. What do you want me to do? That's how our attitude should be. It shouldn't be, well, I was a senior pastor, and who are you? It should be, you know what, if God wants to do this, who am I to question God? And so if he's going to reverse it, then okay, let's go. Because what I understand is whether I'm the senior pastor or assistant pastor or whatever the position might be, how I serve the one that God has put over me is how I'm serving the Lord. It's exactly what's happening. And one day I'll stand before him and it's not going to be, well, I tried to have you learn how to come under authority, Mark, but you wouldn't do that. Or, you know what? You did a great job. I tested you. I did some things in your life and you came out shining, brightly there. You did the right thing. That's what I want to hear on that day, because that's all that's going to matter, guys, is what we do now in obedience to the Lord forever. It's not about us. Remember, this is all about the Lord. And so we have to make sure that, again, if God reverses those positions in life, sometimes they're reversed and that's just how it is. You know, I think here, you know, people see me and, well, they're, hey, you know, there's the senior pastor and they'll jokingly or whatever, I don't know, he'll open the door, he'll kind of laugh, this kind of thing. And I laugh with him. You know, what are you doing? Anyway, just having fun. But when that policeman pulls me over, he didn't go, oh, look, the senior pastor. He goes, look, a speeder. I don't know if you're mean or not. Show me your hands, you know. I mean, so what am I going to get an attitude, you know? Will I get an attitude with him? Don't you know who I am? No, he doesn't care. And who am I? Nobody. God's everything. We're just his servants. And so we have to have the right attitude in life and in heart and humble ourselves. And so Paul's saying, you need to do this. And again, it needs to be something you do. You're doing the will of God from the heart there. Notice it's something that's real. It means something to you from the depth of your heart. Look at verse 7. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord. There it is again, that same theme. And not to men. You're not serving your boss. You're serving the Lord ultimately. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, here it is, guys, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. What he's saying is, if you do what's right in your employee-employer situation, in your husband and wife situation, in your child-parent situation, in your spiritual realm situation, which we'll get to next week, if you do that, you're going to get a reward in heaven. I'm going to reward you, God says, because you're obeying me. It's not about anything but what I've asked you to do, and whether or not you're going to be faithful to do that. And I love this about the Lord. He levels the playing field. You know, when you get to heaven, if you've got a boss that has a lot of authority and a lot of power and a lot of money, when you get to heaven, let's say they are a believer. When you get to heaven, they're not going to have any status in heaven because of that. It's an even playing field. Matter of fact, you may be over them for the rest of eternity in some type of authority. God is the one that judges that. He knows that. So he's saying, conduct yourselves properly here, and that prepares us for what's coming in the future. And again, keeps us humble as well, which is good. And so he says, whether he's slave or free, it doesn't matter. Whatever your positions are, whether in the workplace you're under them and in the church they're over you, whatever, it doesn't matter. Make sure you're doing it unto the Lord and you will receive a reward. You're going to have that reward one day for your faithfulness to God. And notice here in verse 9, he now switches and reverses it and talks to the masters. He talks to the bosses. They have the same responsibility. He'll tell them what they need to do. Look at verse 9. And you, masters, we'd say bosses, do the same things to them. They're honoring you. They're respecting you. They're being obedient to what you're asking them to do. Well, now do the same thing for them. Honor them. Show them favor. Be gracious. Be gracious to them. You know, and again, I think when we're in positions of authority, it's incumbent upon us to be gracious. And really, it's sad to see someone that's in a position of authority that doesn't understand grace. You've got to understand grace. I think to understand grace, you've got to understand, first of all, your own failures, your own weaknesses, your own imperfections, so that you can have that same grace for others. I've told you guys this. Sometimes people come up and say, you know, Mark, I want to pray, but I'm kind of embarrassed to share with you what's happening in my life and what I've gone through. And I'm like, you need to relax. I'm not proud of my past, but you couldn't shock me. And I probably had a worse past than you did. And I don't say that in some type of spiritual, you know, boasting about testimony. I'm just being honest. I know me and I know my past. God has been gracious to me. God has forgiven me so much when I should be in hell. The truth is I should not be right here today. I should not be behind this pulpit. I should have been judged long ago, and I should have been put away and eternally condemned. That's just the truth. I'm being honest about what I know about me and where I should be. But because God was so gracious in what Jesus did on the cross, he said, "I'm going to forgive you." That would have been enough. I'm forgiven. He said, "No, I'll actually use you." Are you serious? I mean, do you know what you're doing? Are you sure you got, do you have all the info, right? I've got all the info. You sure you have it all? What info? Well, you know, no, what info? It's all been erased. And so we're going to start over now. And now you follow me and you obey me and I'll let you be used for my kingdom. As long as you walk in humility and do that, I'll do that. And so I think you need to have a level of understanding, really. If you're going to lead people well, you've got to first of all realize who you really are, which is not that great. And once you admit that fact, now you can have grace and mercy on everyone else to realize, hey, they're fighting the same battles, the same struggles, and the same grace that God gave you, he wants to give them as well and will give them. And you need to be that messenger. Hey, God forgave me, God will forgive you. Let's pray. And then you work with them, help them get through this. He says, masters, be that way. Be gracious to them. Do the same things to them. Giving up threatening. Don't threaten them. You know, if you don't do this, I'm going to fire you tomorrow. You know, okay, look. there's a time to have a serious discussion. Look, we've talked about this now for a good 6 months. You're continuing to be disorderly here. We're going to have to let you go if this keeps going. There's a place for that. You've got to be a boss and you've got to hold people accountable. I get that. But when you sit down with somebody that's messing up, you don't want to just bring them in there and say, you know, what are you doing? This is awful. You're terrible. Whatever. No. Coach them. Teach, hey, you know, maybe you don't understand what it is I'm asking you to do. Here's what I'd like from you to do. How can I help you to do that? You know, wait a minute. You know, Ed's been doing this for years. Ed, come here. Can you help? You know, James here, he's having some struggles there. Would you work with him the next couple of weeks? Show him exactly how we do load the pallets on and off there at the dock and how we do this and let him know how where to park everything, do whatever. Let it work with him. And it's going to be fine, man. Go back out there. Let's go for it. And don't worry. I know the pallet fell over and there's some money gone. It's all right. We get a tax break on that. This kind of stuff happens. And I only speak because I've cost people a lot of money in the past. I could go into stories now, but I won't. But I had people that came alongside me and said, you know what? It's okay. That's just a thing. We'll be able to replace that. And let's do this next time so that doesn't happen again. Okay. All right. Coach them. Don't threaten them. Be gracious with them. God's put you in that position over them. And then believe me, when you get in heaven, against the playing field is going to be equal. And now we're going to see about, okay, how did you deal with them? Were you dealt with the way that you would have wanted to be dealt with? So again, give up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there's no partiality with him. That is, God's not going to show partiality with anyone once we get there. It's all going to be, again, equal. And so let's conduct ourselves in a proper fashion. So now bond servants and masters, we finish. Now he shifts gears, and we're not going to get far into this. A couple of verses, probably 10 and 11 is all we'll cover here today. And we may even recap them a little bit as we kick back into gear next week. But I want to get into it a little bit here and kind of lay some groundwork. And that is getting into the spiritual battle. Now, guys, spiritual battle, again, is something that's very real. It comes in many different ways. We have different phases. You have spiritual battle in the world. You have spiritual battle within yourself. The mind is often the worst battlefield. And then you've got the direct attacks of the enemy that come in your life. It's very real. The demonic realm is real. There's nothing fake about this. And oftentimes some of the frustrations you have, some of the struggling you have you ever felt like I'm in a struggle. Nothing's happening. I'm frustrated. I can't get anywhere. It's like I'm just, that's the best way to describe it, right? That's how you are. You ever been there? We all have. A lot of times, yeah, that's just the world and it's a tough moment, okay? There's not a demon behind everything. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes it's spiritual battle. And if we learn to recognize spiritual battle and pray against it, then God can lift that frustration. God can help us to be free from some of the struggle. But it's interesting, as we'll get into more next week, he's going to say, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. He didn't say, we do not box against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. I wish he'd said that. Because I would have said, you know what? The fist of Jesus. Get out of my way. And let him be the slammer, right? You go and slam the enemy and just let God do it and it's over. Because if it was the boxing, one punch and now let's move on, right? He said it's wrestling. How many of you have watched wrestling? Now, I don't mean WWE. You know, he's coming from the pulpit. You know, I'm not talking about that, all right? I'm not talking about that, all right? I'm talking about high school, college, and they get there and they just lock. Man, I've never done that, but I don't want to. There you go. Somebody did. You know, and I'll tell you something. Now, my brothers, you know, a lot of times there was a little bit of wrestling, but mostly I was the youngest, so pretty much they had the punch and it was done. But think about how God described spiritual battle. It's not a boxing match, and you took an uppercut and he's out. No, it's you're locked. And all the muscles are tense. And you're just waiting on the other person to show a weakness in any area. And then, you're pinned. You ever feel that way? Why can't we, don't we both want the same thing here in our marriage? Don't we both want to raise our kids the same way? Why at work? Aren't we all trying to, why can't I? You know what's going on, guys? We need to pray. You're locked in this thing, and the enemy's waiting for an opening. He wants you to give up. He wants you to give in. He wants to find a chink in your armor. He wants to find some way he can get in there and find a place to get to your heart and ruin you. And so you have to recognize sometimes there's this strain that just continues to go. But here's the good news. Eventually, that strain is lifted. Jacob wrestled with the Lord all night long. And the next morning, he touched his hip. And yeah, there was a damage done there. He had to touch his hip. The wrestling match stopped. But at the same time, God was teaching him to be prevailing through that wrestle. Don't give up. Continue to prevail. Don't stop. And then at the right time, God will end it. Now, God doesn't always end it by touching our hip and making a muscle shrink, but he will end it by changing our walk. Because by the time we're done, our walk has changed. You'll never be the same person. When you make it through those spiritual battles and you continue on and let God do what he's going to do, it's not fun, but God's going to be faithful in the midst of it. But it's God that does the warfare. Notice what he says, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Note this. He says it's not your might. It's God's might that does this. God is the one that's going to win the battle. So we have to learn to hide behind the Lord, allow the Lord through prayer to fight the enemies, and then stand when we've done all we can do. Listen to what it says. Again, David talking to Goliath, 1 Samuel 17:47. He says, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, that is by my own efforts and my own equipment. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He's saying, this is where you're going to get victory. It's going to be from the Lord. That's where the victory comes from. He's doing it. Deuteronomy 1:30, the Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And so God is the one that's going to fight the battle. And notice he says, in this battle, be strong in the Lord. The word be strong there literally means be strengthened. And here's the idea. Not be strengthened in your own ability and your own power. It means let God strengthen you. So through prayer, God will strengthen you. And so you're strengthened by the Lord. Now you have the strength to be able to fight the battle. But understanding it's something that God does and not something we do is how we have victory in the battles, and oftentimes how believers are defeated because we're trying to do it ourselves. Notice here he says this, but it's the power of his might. And the word power here means supremacy and superiority. God is superior over the demonic realm. Yes, he allows the struggle and the wrestle to go sometimes longer than we would ever want it to. But God is growing us. He's teaching us something. He's teaching us warfare. But God is not in some kind of cosmic struggle with Satan. Satan is a created being. God is much greater than Satan. As a matter of fact, it tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus created Satan. It says that Jesus created everything seen and unseen. Well, guess who's involved in that? That's Satan. He himself created Satan. Again, knowing what Satan would do, we can get into all kinds of theological discussions as why would he create him in the first place. But I would say if it wasn't Satan, it probably would have been somebody else. It's like, why did you know Adam? Why did Adam fall? If Adam hadn't fallen, I would have done it. But God is, again, greater. There's not this cosmic battle. He's greater than. And so God, if we trust in God's power, God will eventually, if we just continue to hold on and don't give up. It's like somebody said to me after the last service, I get the wrestling thing, but I'm tired. I get it. I get tired too. God, give me strength. Give me strength, Lord, to hold firm and to stand firm. And God will do it. And so he's saying, look, God is greater. So Paul's telling us, God is the one that's greater in this. He's the one that's going to give us the victory. Might here, which means ability. So God gives the strength. He gives the ability for the battle. It's not us that has that. He gives it all, and we run to him. God, fill us with your spirit. Give us your power. Let us have victory in this. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And again, this will be as far as we get today. But notice what he says to do. Put on the whole armor. And we'll get into the whole armor next week as we talk about the different pieces of armor. But I want you guys to know something. It's not about reading Ephesians 6 and going through some kind of motions about you're putting the armor on. I understand that. I did that as a new believer, and I get that, and there's nothing wrong in that. But what he's saying is, look, if you're getting in the Word of God and in prayer, you're putting on the armor of God. All he does in Ephesians is break down what's happening when you get in the Word of God and in prayer. So what he's saying is, for you to put on the whole armor of God, he's saying, get in the Word of God and put it all on, the whole armor. Read all of God's Word, get the whole armor of God, spend time in prayer, and then you're going to be ready for the battle. It's interesting. I think it's not just even about in the morning as well. I think when you put on the armor, you read the Word of God. I would encourage you to do it night and day. He told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, he said, if you will get in my Word day and night, it will be prosperous for you. And you say, well, how much do I get in the Word day and night? He doesn't tell us how much. God doesn't, don't make it legalistic. But if you've never done this, and I encourage you to do this, read one chapter in the morning and then just pray for a couple minutes about whatever God puts on your heart. And then at night before you go to bed, read another chapter, work through a book and read the next chapter and just do a chapter and a chapter. Start there. God will grow it from there. How many of you have found out that spiritual warfare takes place at night as well? You need the whole armor all the time. It's interesting that the Roman soldiers, when they would put their armor on, they would, again, put on what they called a panoply. A panoply from head to toe was their full armor. And the only time they wore their full armor is when they were going into battle. They would only have partial armor on when they weren't going into battle. And they had that privilege and that right because they knew when the front lines were coming and all that. But in the spiritual sense, guys, there's never a time that we can be partially armed. That's why I encourage you, morning and night, if we're partially armed, there's going to be an opening in our armor. Now, one of the dangers they ran into was, is if they didn't have their armor fully on and the enemy attacked, they're vulnerable in certain areas. So if you're not armored up morning and night, when the enemy attacks, you're going to be vulnerable. The attack's going to bring trouble no matter what, but at least you're more prepared for the attack if you're in the Word and making sure that you're armored up. And it's also not just being armored up. Again, you also have to make sure that our armor is properly secured. When they would secure the armor together, if they didn't get the back part securely tied to the front part and pull in the gap here on the ribs, Roman soldiers historically have died that way because they didn't have their armor on tight enough, and so all the arrows flying, one would sure enough find that opening and go right into the heart. And so Paul's giving a picture saying, look, you not only have to put the full armor on, make sure that your armor is tightly secured so the enemy finds no opening. Okay, Mark, what's a practical way we can make sure that it's tightly secure? Here's the bottom line. You ever read the Word of God? You sit down, you read it, and you go, I have no idea what I just read. It's not tightly secure. You went through the motions. That happens to me as well. You don't encourage you to do? Stop and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to go back and read this again. Open my eyes. Give me understanding here about what you want from me. I want to hear your word. Read it again. Get rid of the distractions. Because oftentimes it's half-hearted and distractions. Find a time where you, a place you can be alone, a place where it's quiet. Hear the word of God. Put on the full armor. And then God will speak to you. That closes up those gaps right here. So the arrows that come in, because he's going to look for the opening. He's going to look for wherever the weakness is. We're going to see next week. He studies us. He studies us. He's right now you're being watched by the enemy. He knows what makes you mad. He knows when you're doing good, when you're doing bad, where your weaknesses are, and that's where he strikes. And if you don't have that armor securely fastened all the way around you, then that's going to get right to the heart, and that can be the destruction of a believer. That's what leads to a fall. That's what leads to trouble. And another reason we need to keep the full armor on is that Satan never sleeps. The good news is neither does God. Listen to what it says in Psalm 121:4. For behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And if God doesn't slumber or sleep with Israel, then he doesn't slumber or sleep with us. And so we can be sure that God's going to be faithful to watch over us. And so we don't have to worry. I'm not trying to get you worried about the enemy. But we need to make sure that we are armored up and we're not sloppy with our armor, that it's not half-hearted reading the Bible, half-hearted praying, but that it's sincere from the heart. And that again, that we are ready again for whatever the battle is that comes our way in the warfare. The last thing I want to say as we finish up is this. Guys, God doesn't put the armor on for us. If you want to have armor, you're going to have to go get in the Word and pray. That's how you get your armor. And if you're getting beaten to death right now, you're like, my life is beating me to death. Everything's so hard. Let me ask you, are you in the Word and prayer? Some of you may say yes, and you're still getting beaten to death. Well, the bottom line is there's still battle, right? But at least you have your armor on. Think what it would be like if you didn't have your armor on. But some of you are getting beaten to death, and the reason is you have no armor. I had someone sharing with me, they had some friends in a battle there in Iraq. And they got lazy. They wore their armor every day. And they started getting lazy because time went by and months went by. And no attacks came in the area they were in. Suddenly they all went out one day in this big, troop going out together. And they got attacked. Men were killed. Many wounded coming back. Blood everywhere. And they realized, we always have to be ready. Because the enemy's watching for when we're not ready. What a picture that is of the spiritual battle. He's watching. And he's not going to put the armor on. God doesn't put the armor on for us. We have to put it on. He says, if we don't have the armor on, we're not even going to be able to stand. So guys, again, we'll get more into this next week. We're going to wrap it up here. But I want to encourage you. Again, put on the full armor of God. You don't have to wait till next week to find out how to do it. Here's how you do it. Time in the Word and time in prayer. That's putting on the armor. So this week, again, if you don't have a regular time in the Word and prayer, start one. Chapter in the morning, chapter at night. A little bit of prayer. Doesn't have to be something overwhelming. Work through a book of the Bible. The book of John's a great one. Whatever book you pick, work through a book of the Bible. And then let God just minister to you in that, and then God's going to be faithful. And again, we'll get more into this next week and as we continue on in looking at God's authority structure in the spiritual battle. But let's pray and let God just work in our hearts with the word planted today. Father, thank you, Lord, for the seeds you planted in our hearts today and for your word today. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord, to minister to us and to teach us about your authority structure and your authority structures and all the different areas of life. God, you've done it for our safety, for our protection, for our good. Help us not to fight against it, but to submit to it. And Lord, I pray for those that are right now in the midst of a spiritual battle, and many in this room no doubt are, because we are constantly in battle with the enemy. God, I pray that you would help them to remember to get armored up, to spend that time in the Word every day, to spend that time in the Word at night before they go to bed, to have the armor on, to be ready, God, because the arrows are coming regardless. Whether ready or not, here I come. Satan's coming at us. and the demonic realm is coming at us, and we are in the spiritual battle whether we like it or not. So let us be those that are warriors and ready for the battle. And so, Father, I pray you would encourage those that are beat up from the battle this morning. I pray you'd strengthen those that are feeling weak from the battle this morning. And I pray you'd help all of us, God, to be armored up and ready for the battle. I thank you for using your word today and this moment of prayer to armor us up for this day. Who knows what's waiting for us outside that door, where there may be a spiritual attack, something mental, whatever it could be. We don't know. But God, at least now we have on the armor and we're ready for battle. You will be our defender, God, by your power and by your might. And we give you all the glory. God, watch over your flock. We thank you for your word today, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.